Austin Area Foundation awards $1.8 million in grants. Permian Basin Area Foundation has awarded $1,837,500 to nonprofit organizations serving West Texans during a spring community grant cycle. The foundation is honored to extend support to so many organizations throughout the Permian Basin and Trans-Pecos region. These nonprofits are not only advocates for progress, but conduits for change as well, and we are grateful to support them, Grants Administrator Raymond Williams stated in a news release. Grants are made to the following organizations: Basin Theatre Works, Big Bend Conservancy, Big Bend Conservation Alliance, Bynum School, Casa de Amigos of Midland Incorporated, CASAT in the Basin, Chihuahuan Desert Research Institute, Community Children's Clinic, CompuDopt, Fix West Texas, Frontier Casa, Marathon Primary Care Services Incorporated, McDonald Observatory, Midland Fair Havens, Midland Historical Society, Midland Shared Spaces Incorporated, Mission Center Adult Day Service, Odessa College Foundation, Permia Care, Permian Basin Mission Center, Reflections Ministries of Texas, SHARE, Texas Lions Camp Incorporated, West Texas Gifts of Hope. ECISD sets celebrations all this week. Monday is a full day of promoting the class of 2023. Starting at 9:30 a.m. this morning at Odessa High School, students and staff put out college and career signs, picture yard signs with the name of college, universities, trade schools, careers the seniors have chosen to pursue after high school graduation. These signs are visible outside all of ECISD's high schools. At 6:30 p.m. today at the Ector County Coliseum, ECISD will host its second annual College Signing Day event, where every high school senior who has chosen to participate will stand up on stage, announce their intentions, and later sign a letter of commitment to follow through on those plans. The celebration goes along with the theme for the month, #Celemation. Also this week, 9 a.m. to noon Tuesday, special delivery of ECISD Employee of the Year Awards Part 1. 6 p.m. Tuesday, school board meeting. 9 a.m. to noon Thursday, surprise delivery of ECISD Employee of the Year Awards Part 2. 6 p.m. Thursday, Odessa College and ECISD Career and Technical Education Dual Credit Signing Ceremony for Students Choosing Career Pathways of Study. 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Friday, the first two graduation ceremonies, Odessa Collegiate Academy at 6 p.m. and OC Techs at 8 p.m., both at the OC Sports Center. Andrews man killed in late night crash. An Andrews man was killed late Sunday night in a crash at State Highway 158 and FM 1936 in Ector County. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Shane Pena Charango, 34, was traveling north on FM 1936 in a Ford F-150 when he disregarded the stop sign at State Highway 158 and struck a Freightliner being driven on State Highway 158 by a 43-year-old man from Wichita, Kansas. Pena Charango was not wearing a seatbelt, was thrown from the Ford and pronounced dead at the scene. His 28-year-old passenger, a woman from Andrews who was wearing a seatbelt, was treated at Medical Center Hospital and released. The driver of the Freightliner wasn't hurt. UTPB lecturer humbled by prestigious recognition. University of Texas Permian Basin lecturer of English, Clark Moreland, is humbled by his upcoming induction into the UT System Academy of Distinguished Teachers. People keep coming to me like, hey, congratulations, you're a member of the Academy, and I feel like I've won an Oscar, Moreland said. UT system is the only university system in the country to have a group of faculty as an academy who foster and support high-quality, inclusive teaching. It's really a special thing, and I'm grateful to the Board of Regents and the system of the Chancellor and all those who created it and continue to support it because it's important work, Moreland said. Every year, the system awards between 4 and 8 regents outstanding teaching awards. By now, Moreland said, there's a pretty large community of people who have won these awards. Shortly after they established the Regents Award, they wanted a smaller group that would be drawn from those award winners. Every member of the Academy is a Regents Teaching Award winner. What the members of the Academy do is to not only gather people for conferences and try to collect best practices for teaching across the UT system, but also to publish those ideas, Moreland said. The book they published was the Little Orange Book with teaching stories from people across the UT system. The Academy sponsors that and publishes the book. At UTPB, Moreland and Professor of Psychology James Olson edited a book called 80 Steps, Tales on College Teaching, a local version of the Little Orange Book. We were inspired by that and did our own collection of teaching tales. That's the kind of work the Academy does. This summer, they will be putting a conference together for all UT system faculty members, and I'll be part of that. It's also in collaboration with the directors of various centers on teaching and learning across UT systems, of which I'm a member as well, Moreland said. They do share resources and they advocate for teaching in UT system and across the state of Texas. It's a really neat group. I think there are between 30 and 40 members of the Academy right now. This year, the Academy will be inducting 4 members. I'm one of them. I'll be the second UTPB faculty member to be inducted. The first was Dr. Sophia Andrus, who it turned out just by chance happens to still be in my department. She's a mentor of mine. It's been really gratifying to follow in her footsteps, but there are 3 others from the UT system that will be inducted formally to the Academy, he added. Moreland said he's terribly humbled by the selection. I know just how many of my fellow faculty here as well as across the system are so deserving of it. I'm a 3rd-generation graduate of this university. My grandmother got her degree here. Both of my parents, my wife, and my sisters, all Falcons, and they're all educators. So for me to be able to take all of the wisdom and all of the service that the faculty and teachers have given, not just to me, but to my family, and to pour that back into the university, to represent the university in the Academy, and to be able to do my part in serving the Academy, the system, and this university is just such a privilege. I don't deserve it, but I'm sure going to take it, and I'm going to do my best to make sure that we continue to tell the UTBB story in Austin and elsewhere. The induction is expected to occur in the fall in Austin, but an exact date has not been set.
Master Gardeners. Learn more about prairie building with these helpful references. May 14th, 2023, by Emmy Almschneider and Debbie Rowland. You want to learn more about establishing an urban prairie, but where do you start? The good news is that there are so many books and digital resources to help. This idea of using native plants is not new. Sally and Andy Waskowski published their first book, Native Texas Plants, Landscaping Region by Region, back in 1988. So here are a few choices to help you get started. If you're interested in the importance and urgency of creating native habitat in our urban areas, one of the best places is to start with Doug Tallamy. His book, Nature's Best Hope, provides a blueprint for individual conservation in your yard, creating a new type of national park. Explore the videos, talks, and resources on the Homegrown National Park website, and check out the number of people who are already on the map by creating habitat in their own yards. And by the way, Midland is on the map with 3 users. If you have already decided you would like to try and create a prairie in your own yard, you need more background. Sally and Andy Wachowski published Gardening with Prairie Plants in 2002. This classic covers how to install and maintain an urban prairie, as well as 143 pages of plant profiles for grasses, forbs, shrubs, and trees for regional prairie types. Believe it or not, there is a Native Prairies Association of Texas, NPAT, which conserves, restores, and educates about our native prairies and grasslands. Although most of their information centers around tall grass prairies, they do have a good primer on prairie gardening. That's at texasprairie.org/prairie-gardening. Closer to home, the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center has a variety of resources, including how-to instructions and plant information. In addition to written resources, their plant database is a wealth of information. You can check out an individual plant and through their link to the USDA plant database, see if a certain plant grows in your county. The option for special collections allows you to see plant profiles for selected areas. So if you want to use that, try the Rolling Plains or Chihuahuan Desert ecoregion. You have researched native plants you want to grow. You have the perfect pocket prairie area, and you have an idea about how to install it. But now you need a map or design to follow. As we wrote about in our article on planning for year-round color, recreating nature takes planning. Although inspirational, Piet Aldoff is not the only one to write about creating a landscape that has all the benefits of a natural space, but has been carefully thought out and designed. If you're interested in what is possible with prairie plants and want a step-by-step guide through the whole process, including design, you can't do better than Prairie Up by Benjamin Vaught. Vaught focuses on all things prairie, from how to start to how to enjoy your prairie. If you have questions, call the AgriLife office in Odessa at 498-4071 or in Midland at 686-4700.
Samaritan Center. More people experience burnout. Burnout is considered to be a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion caused by significant and prolonged or repeated stress. It can cause people to have thoughts of feeling overwhelmed, emotionally drained, and believing they are unable to meet current expectations or demands. This can lead people to feel dissatisfied in their personal and professional lives, increase social isolation, problems with relationships, and trigger negative coping behaviors such as overeating and substance use. A recent study reveals that a majority of working American adults have experienced feelings of being burned out at some point within the past year. Studies also reveal lack of sufficient support or working on tasks that do not resonate can cause burnout. Furthermore, burnout can cause a person's work-life balance to get out of sync. Fatigue is one of the major signs of burnout. A person may feel tired all the time, despite getting adequate sleep. If tasks take too long to complete or interaction with others is emotionally exhausting, you could have burnout. Feeling apathetic or dissatisfied with your job is another sign. Tension, headaches, and changes with diet and sleep patterns are other things to look for in assessing for burnout. Everyone has days when they are not particularly motivated to work, but if this becomes a consistent feeling, then burnout might be the cause. Remember, recognizing burnout is the first step in getting better. The next step is to make self-care and emotional well-being a priority in your life. This can be accomplished by identifying your stressors. By knowing your stress triggers, you can avoid or reduce your interactions with them. This means paying attention to people, situations, or incidents that consistently cause stress. Create a habit of journaling. Journaling has been proven to help people reduce negative emotions. Work on increasing your support network. Being able to discuss personal and professional struggles in a safe environment can help to reduce stress. Therefore, do not be afraid to lean on others for support. Implement a regular exercise routine. You do not need to train to be a world-class athlete. A walk around the neighborhood on a good weather day or a walk at the mall on bad weather day would be beneficial. Set appropriate boundaries to have a better work-life balance. If possible, have a cutoff time for responding to phone calls and emails, unless it is an absolute emergency. Also, set boundaries to do things that you enjoy doing. Finally, make sure you have a healthy sleep schedule and diet. If you discover that burnout is not an issue you can deal with effectively on your own, please contact Samaritan Center at 432-563-4144 for further assistance. Overcoming Cancer. Hope House to host National Cancer Survivor Day event. It may not be common knowledge that June holds a day for all cancer survivors to celebrate their journeys, but local nonprofit Gifts of Hope, Inc. is working to raise awareness about this opportunity for local survivors, their friends, and their families to come together. Quote, "It is so wonderful to have my family with me to celebrate my fight and victory over cancer," end quote, a participant from last year said about the event. Gifts of Hope Executive Director Clint Dixon said, quote, "This event exists to provide space for survivors to come together, along with friends and family, to inspire others who are in the middle of their journey, and also hope that cancer can be beat. The people represented by our event have strength, beauty, and colorful personalities. So we want to showcase that while making the community aware of how many people are affected and overcome cancer. We want every survivor in the Permian Basin and their families to join us on our front lawn for an amazing celebration," end quote, Dixon stated. The event will be held at the Hope House at 2006 West Tennessee Avenue from 2 to 4 p.m. on June 4th. There will be a local cancer survivor sharing her journey, refreshments, live music, and ribbon tying for all the different types of cancer. For more information on National Cancer Survivor Day, www.giftsofhopetx.org. Samaritan Center. More people experience burnout. Burnout is considered to be a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion caused by significant and prolonged or repeated stress. It can cause people to have thoughts of feeling overwhelmed, emotionally drained, and believing they are unable to meet current expectations or demands. This can lead people to feel dissatisfied in their personal and professional lives, increase social isolation, problems with relationships, and trigger negative coping behaviors such as overeating and substance use. A recent study reveals that a majority of working American adults have experienced feelings of being burned out at some point within the past year. Studies also reveal lack of sufficient support or working on tasks that do not resonate can cause burnout. Furthermore, burnout can cause a person's work-life balance to get out of sync. Fatigue is one of the major signs of burnout. A person may feel tired all the time, despite getting adequate sleep. If tasks take too long to complete or interaction with others is emotionally exhausting, you could have burnout. Feeling apathetic or dissatisfied with your job is another sign. Tension, headaches, and changes with diet and sleep patterns are other things to look for in assessing for burnout. Everyone has days when they are not particularly motivated to work, but if this becomes a consistent feeling, then burnout might be the cause. Remember, recognizing burnout is the first step in getting better. The next step is to make self-care and emotional well-being a priority in your life. This can be accomplished by identifying your stressors. By knowing your stress triggers, you can avoid or reduce your interactions with them. This means paying attention to people, situations, or incidents that consistently cause stress. Create a habit of journaling. Journaling has been proven to help people reduce negative emotions. Work on increasing your support network. Being able to discuss personal and professional struggles in a safe environment can help to reduce stress. Therefore, do not be afraid to lean on others for support. Implement a regular exercise routine. You do not need to train to be a world-class athlete. A walk around the neighborhood on a good weather day or a walk at the mall on bad weather day would be beneficial. Set appropriate boundaries to have a better work-life balance. If possible, have a cutoff time for responding to phone calls and emails, unless it is an absolute emergency. Also, set boundaries to do things that you enjoy doing. Finally, make sure you have a healthy sleep schedule and diet. If you discover that burnout is not an issue you can deal with effectively on your own, please contact Samaritan Center at 432-563-4144 for further assistance.
Cates, Kids in Hot Cars by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. Every year about this time, I start writing about summer safety. Soon, I will talk about heat stroke, hydration, and safety with summer activities, just to name a few topics. Today, I'm going to write about something I really wish I could stop writing about, kids dying because they are left in hot cars. Of all the summer safety-related topics that I write about, this is the one that just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because of all the awful things that can happen with accidents and kids, this one is completely preventable. In 2022, 33 kids in the U.S. died from heat stroke after being left in vehicles. 2018 and 2019 tied for the highest numbers of car-related heat stroke deaths at 53 kids each year. Texas is the worst state when it comes to heat stroke in cars. 138 kids have died in Texas after being left in cars since 1998. 8 of the 33 deaths last year happened in Texas. Heat stroke is the second most common cause of death related to cars for kids. Number 1 is car crashes. 87% of all children that die in cars are under age 3, which 57% being under age 1. There are many reasons why. Despite the awareness campaigns and laws put into place, reasons include misperceptions about how hot cars can get and things that bring that heat down. Cars can get very hot inside even when it's not very hot outside. In testing by the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2002, a dark blue mid-sized sedan was used to test how hot a car interior could get in 1 hour. They found even with an outside temperature of 61 degrees Fahrenheit, the internal temperature reached 105 degrees within an hour. In Houston in 2008, a 7-month-old infant died of heat stroke when left in a car when the outside temperature was only 83 degrees. In another survey, over 40% of people believe that cracking a window will drop the temperature inside the car. The reality is that cracking windows has little to no effect on the internal temperature of a car. The next reason is that kids and adults react very differently in hot environments. As adults, we can sit in a hot car for a while and be uncomfortable, but not get into trouble. But small children have a much larger body surface area to weight ratio than adults. Because of their big body surface area to weight ratio, kids are much less able to maintain their own temperature in an extreme environment, and the changes that result happen much more quickly. In a hot car, small children can have their body temperatures rise into the heat stroke range up to 5 times faster than an adult. Most of the temperature rise in cars happen in the first 20 minutes. That combined with the vulnerability of kids and how quickly their temperatures rise means even leaving a child in a car for a few minutes can be extremely dangerous. In a study of 800 car-related heat stroke deaths, there were 3 main reasons that kids died in cars. The largest group, 54%, were kids that were forgotten in the back seat. The second cause, 26.3%, were children who got into cars on their own and were trapped, and 18.9% were children that were knowingly left in cars, with the adult thinking they would not be gone long enough for it to be an issue. Knowing the reasons really helps better direct awareness, legislation, and even technology to help prevent kids getting left in cars. For instance, car manufacturers have started doing some interesting things to help with the forgetting problem, and legislation is starting to require newer cars to incorporate that technology. For instance, in my 2019 model car, if I put something in the back seat, get in and drive, and then I don't remove it at the next stop, I get an alert on my phone telling me to check my back seat. But even without that technology, you can do things yourself to prevent children from being left in a hot car. For if you have a child in the back seat, particularly if you are doing something outside of the routine, put something in the back seat with the child that you won't forget, like a shoe or your phone. Keep your car locked and keys out of reach when it is unattended. That keeps little ones from getting into cars. Never leave a child alone in a car, even if you think it will only be for a minute. Distraction is very real, and that minute can easily turn into much longer than that. A kid dying is always awful, but for something as preventable as a kid dying in a hot car, it's particularly bad. Please help me spread the word to keep our kids safe this summer by making sure they are never left in a hot car.
This is the Dear Abby column. Wife in Crumbling Marriage takes stock of life future. Dear Abby, I have been married for 16 years, but after the birth of my first child, our marriage went downhill. My husband withdrew and went out with friends often. When my brother was in the hospital, I traveled 3 hours with my newborn baby to visit him. My husband drove up separately, stayed a few hours, then left to go to a concert with a female friend. Our sex life dwindled down to nothing, and I felt we were roommates. I became depressed and started having manic episodes. I'm on medication now and taking care of myself. I have always resented my husband for this. We have 2 kids now, and I'm afraid if I leave him, it will hurt the children. I tried 3 different marriage counselors with him, but he wasn't interested. I now spend my time doing everything with the kids and focusing on my well-being. I met an old high school acquaintance on Facebook, and our friendship has turned romantic. I don't see him often, but when I do, I want to be with him always. We are both scared of what could happen. I love him so much. He is kind, sweet, and caring. Do I wait until the kids are 18 to leave? Signed, Ready for Change in the East. Dear Ready, make an appointment to talk with an attorney. When you do, be sure to ask what kind of financial information you may need to ensure you get a fair settlement should you decide to end this charade of a marriage. Once you have the information, tell your husband that the status quo isn't good enough for you, and offer him 1 more chance at marriage counseling. If he refuses, and he probably will, proceed with setting yourself free. Raising children in the atmosphere you have described may be more damaging than getting a divorce. A warning, however, once you become available on a full-time basis, your lover may not be ready or willing to become your knight in shining armor. Be prepared to fend for yourself just in case. Dear Abby, I'm in love with 2 men at the same time, but one of them happens to be dead. 12 years ago, I met a wonderful man, Carl. We had each other at hello and became engaged 2 weeks later. We were very happily married until I lost him to cancer 6 years later. 2 years after I lost Carl, I decided to dip my toe back in the dating pool. A few months later, I met Philip. We also were immediately attracted to each other and are very happy together. We've been a couple for 4 years and will be married this summer. He's very understanding about my feelings and memories of Carl. Am I wrong to marry this man I love dearly when I still have feelings for my late husband? Signed, Wandering Widow in Missouri. Dear Wandering Widow, when a spouse dies, the love the couple had for each other doesn't also die. The love you feel for Carl can last as long as you do, and you shouldn't feel guilty about it. I have said many times that grief is an individual process. That you have fallen in love with Philip doesn't lessen your love for your late husband. Celebrate your good fortune. I wish you and Philip a lifetime of happiness together. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.